think that after reading those Bible verses, if anyone has actually read the blurb, you'll know that this is the dreaded money sermon. Many of you might be thinking, I really wish I'd slept in. I shouldn't have come here, because we don't like the money sermon. I don't think I'm alone in this. I don't like the money sermon. I once went to a church where, and I stopped going, because for 5 weeks in a row they did money sermons. And this was project leader after project leader coming forward and going, blah, 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 give us money. And this was a church that had 3 businesses running from their premises. They were not a poor church, and yet they were just asking for more money. So I want to say this morning that I'll be challenging you, but I'm also challenging myself. Everything I say to you guys, I'm also saying to myself. But also, I don't want to guilt trip anyone. I don't want anyone to feel like I've used emotional blackmail or anything like that. I want to tell the truth about generosity and truth about giving. But without all those sort of aspects I think we've all had in a money sermon. And if you're not quite clear about what a money sermon is, you might be new. You could basically sum it up by, it's a staple of the Christian church where every denomination and every church will eventually have a sermon which could be summed up by saying, give us money. And I want to say this morning that my aim is not that you feel like you have to give money, but my aim is that you'll want to give to the glory of God. Whether I succeed or fail, you guys can tell me after the sermon. So I've been racking my brain, because when I got this passage, I read it, and I'm like, oh no, it's going to be the money sermon. So I've been really racking my brain, trying to think of how to do the money sermon. And I realized the answer was right in front of me. Paul gave the perfect money sermon in his letter to the Corinthians. He wasn't guilt-tripping them. He wasn't using emotional blackmail. He was just telling them the gospel truth about giving and about generosity. So, let's get into it. You could basically break apart this letter into 3 sections. And the first one was him talking about the Macedonian churches. He's talking about, hey, these guys in Macedonia are giving and giving and giving. They're giving it till it hurts. They're pleading to give more. And, you know, this is not a rich church, but this is a church that's giving and giving and giving. And so then he says to the Corinthians, look, you guys are great. You guys are an awesome church. You guys are a godly church. You're doing so many things well. You're just not quite at the same level of generosity as these Macedonian churches. You're not exceeding at that. So he was encouraging them to do that. So this morning I want to say, St. George's, you are a great church. You do so many things well. I can say from personal experience how welcomed I have felt coming here. And maybe for some of you are thinking, of course, if a new person comes to the church, you welcome them. That's what you do. But I don't think I'm the only one that's been to a church and you've stood in the side of the parish room having a coffee and a biscuit and everyone's talking away. And then you're like, okay. And then you go home and no one's talked to you. Maybe the pastor has, and it's kind of a token conversation. But I want to say this morning that you guys get it right. You guys are a welcoming church. We have the aim to have pretty much everyone in a Bible study, and we've achieved that. Almost all of you are in a Bible study, and those of you that aren't usually have a legitimate reason not to. That's awesome. We're seeing growth in the children's ministry. We are a great, godly church that is doing so many things well. You can see where this is about to go. We could be more generous. And I mean, that's just the honest truth. We could be more generous. And I'm including myself in that. We could be giving more. We could be more like the Macedonian churches. So I guess that's the first challenge. We should be like the Macedonian churches. But that leads to the second point. And I think this is almost the point that is skimmed over or not focused on when we look at the money sermon. And that is of the point of blessing. That we are blessed because of our generosity. And just, I guess, to demonstrate how absurd this is, you know, we have this idea that sacrifice means you don't get anything from it. And that makes sense, doesn't it? that if you give money to someone and then they give you something back, that's not sacrifice, that's a transaction. And so when we view giving to church, I think a lot of us view it as you put your money in the basket or the bag and that's it. You're sort of going into the black hole. And you know it's glorifying God in some way, but ultimately it defeats the purpose if you're receiving any advantage from that. That makes sense, doesn't it? That's what sacrifice is, isn't it? It's not getting something back from what you're giving. I want to say this morning that we believe in an absurd God that doesn't operate by those rules. We're dealing with a God who died for our sins to get in return our broken and fragile love, which even those of us who have known him our whole life will disobey him on a minute-to-minute basis. That doesn't sound like a good deal, but that's the sort of God that we worship. And so it's the same thing with blessing. I mean, same thing with generosity, that he gives us all of our wealth, and then we, out of the kindness of our heart, give him back a sliver of that wealth he already owns. We give that to him, and he blesses us. That doesn't make any sense, but that's who we worship. That is the God that we follow. But what does this blessing involve? What is this blessing? We can read that we will receive blessing in heaven, that when we die, all the stuff that we have given will be given back to us, you know, 1,000 times more than we actually originally gave, like a very high interest bank account. I guess to show the height of human arrogance, I like my blessings here on earth because I don't want to have to die in order to cash that check. I look forward to it. It's going to be great. But ultimately, you know, it's just a little bit too intangible, and I don't think I'm the only one. That the kind of the blessing in heaven, we think, good, I'm glad it's there, but I'm going to be here for a while. I would like some blessings here. Showing our human arrogance, but we believe in an absurd God, so he actually blesses us here on earth. But what does that blessing involve? I want to say it's not a money laundering scheme. So you don't give God $100 and then you get back a holy $200. It doesn't work like that. And I want to say this morning that you should be glad it doesn't, because Scripture is quite clear that when God gives you more wealth, he's asking you to give that away. So if you give God $100 and you get $200 back, God's telling you to give away $200, and that's harder than $100. And it'll just keep multiplying. Eventually you have to give away $1 million, and that's going to be really difficult. So it's good. It's a good thing that we don't get, you know, more money back sometimes. But what kind of blessing is it? You've got the spiritual blessing. You've got joy. You know, that warm, fuzzy feeling that you get when you do something that you know God approves of. We get all that. So that's real blessing that we can receive. But I want to say this morning that when it comes to putting your money into the black hole, I want to say the black hole doesn't exist. Here today at St. George's, we are a community. We are a church family, which means that when you put money into St. George's, you're investing in a community that you belong to. You will receive a benefit from. This is not a great example because for some reason this room is actually legitimately warm. But I think most Sunday mornings it's quite cold in here. Yeah? It's quite cold. We had someone who came along and he was just suggesting a few things like, well, if you do this, we could keep water from the wall. If you change this light, it would make the room seem a little bit more friendly. And he came into this room and he's like, well, we could put this heating solution in. It's quite expensive, but we could, you know, make this room really nice and cozy. We could be warm here every Sunday, forever. It just costs money. You might be looking at this carpet and you think, you know what? I'd really like carpet from this decade. And I want to say this morning that with money, we can do that. We can rip up this carpet and put down, I don't know what is in style for carpet at the moment, but we could put in better carpet. We will see blessing because you're investing in something that you're already emotionally invested in. You're all here. That means giving money to St. George's, you're going to see a benefit from it because you're involved. We could have more programs. For example, we don't really have enough money for 3 members of staff. We're eating into our reserves. I want to say not only could we, if we had more giving, have 3 members of staff fully employed without having to dip into the reserves, I want to say we could have 4 members of staff, 5 members of staff, each with their own area of ministry, each glorifying God. We could see more growth. We could see more teenagers coming to the church. We could see more families. We could have so much money that we could just go to the movies. Just say, we're all going to go to the movies because we've just got that much money. And any money that we have in excess, we'll send elsewhere. We'll send to the wider Christian family. There will be blessing. This isn't, I guess, a pie-in-the-sky ideal. It's quite clear in Scripture. Generosity equals blessing, which means we will see growth with an increase in giving. It's not easy, don't get me wrong, but I want to challenge you this morning that if you're hearing this and you're thinking, well, there's the blessing of God, which is a guarantee, so we've got the blessing of God, but I would prefer to have that extra $100 a week. Maybe your priorities aren't in the right place. And I want to say this morning that I've been guilty of that. Well, I'm like, you know, it's great, glorify God, but I really do like that $100 and I'm not going to spend it on anything, I'm just going to save it. But I want to say this morning that we have to prayerfully reflect on where our priorities are. So we've talked about the Macedonian churches and how they gave and gave and gave and gave and gave and they didn't seem to, you know, want to stop. They weren't giving begrudgingly, they were begging to give more. And we've read about how generosity equals blessing and about how we should be... We're missing out on God's blessing. But this leads to the third point, and I think this is the point that might make some people, you know, sigh in relief. But it's where Paul goes, this isn't an order. I'm not telling you you have to do it. And I want to say on behalf of the parish council and the eldership, we're not telling you you have to do this. We're not going to start checking up on people or going, you know, I can't help but notice that some of you aren't paying what you really should. Not going to name names, but if you don't pay next week, we will. We're not going to do that because this is not something that really anyone else needs to know about. This is something between you, your family, and God. So it's not an instruction. It's not an order. It's up to you to prayerfully consider it. But Paul being Paul doesn't just leave it at that. He then goes, but I'm testing your sincerity. I want to see where your heart is, and that's what I also want to say this morning. And again, this challenge reflects right back at me, but this morning we've read, where your heart is, your treasure is also. Where's your heart? Where's your treasure? There is a time and a place for giving of your time. That we can't dispute that. We do need manpower. We need people to volunteer. And it's a glorifying God when you do. It's just an unfortunate reality of the world we live in that if this wall came down, we're going to need money to replace it. We can have all the willing volunteers in the world, but without the materials, we can't do anything. So I want to say this morning, prayerfully consider where you're giving and where God wants you to give and how much God wants you to give. It's difficult, it's a challenge, and I think some of you might be feeling quite uncomfortable right now. I know I am. But I want to say this morning that this isn't just about sacrifice. This is about making St. George's the church that it should be. We will see blessing, we will see growth, we will have joy. So that's a lot to think about. I think that's enough for me, so let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I think many of us have been challenged this morning about giving and about being generous. I pray that you will touch the hearts and mind of everyone here so that you can be our heart and our treasure. And I pray that everyone here will be open to hear your word and look forward to the blessings that we will receive in time. Amen.